much of what happens is prefaced on how we are as the body of Christ. When I view you out there, all of you, as a brother or sister, and I love you, then there's so much less need to pretend. When we live in God's love, grace, agape, that forgives our sins as we seek Him, the world's driving us, advertising us into hypocrisy, loses its power. So when someone feels like they're a heavy trip for you, that just means there's heavy in the Hebrew. There's a heavy opportunity to honor one another, to bear the burden of being the children of God. But let us pray. We've heard your word, O Lord, speak through me in Jesus' name. Words. Don't let us put on any pant or tilt, any assumed humility, but let us be real. That is the delight of God. God wants us to be real men and real women. And if we profess to be what we are not, God knows all about us. And God hates the sham. It's a sham because it gets in the way of us experiencing His love. How many of you women know who Robert Redford is? I'm told he's quite attractive. He was in a hotel lobby and a woman saw him and she followed him to the elevator. And finally, she got the courage and she said, "Are you the real Robert Redford?" As the elevator door closed, he replied, "Only when I'm alone." The task of the Christian is to be who we are when we're in community, when we're in fellowship, and even in the midst of those who would put us down. To have the courage to be I am in the presence of the great I am. By the grace of God, I am who I am, Paul said. And he had it right. In Psalm 26, it's an Old Testament passage about hypocrisy. And it speaks of it in a positive and negative. "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have led a blameless life." But the King James says it much nicer. "I have walked in my integrity." The Job says the same thing in the midst of all the struggles. The word in Hebrew for integrity is it's a wholeness, it's a completeness. I know that much of our lives, at different times in our lives, we feel incomplete. Have you experienced that? We just feel like something's missing. But in the walk with God, God fills in the something. And it gives us integrity to be who we are, a sense of completeness in Him. Not that we're perfect, but that we're perfectly loved. "I have trusted," He is secure in the Lord. "I have trusted in the Lord and have not faltered," the psalmist David says. "Test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. For I have always been mindful of your unfailing love and have lived in reliance on your faithfulness." He trusts the unfailing love to try to be who he is and not pretend to be someone else. He faces Goliath earlier because he knows that he is with God. He refuses the armor of Saul because he knows he's with God and that God will use him. And he doesn't have to pretend and put on the fancy king's armor. If we were to go back to the time of David, could you imagine if King was the great king of Saul, the great king of Israel, and someone said, would you like to put on my armor? Those of you that like Elvis, would you like to put on some of his outfits? Or whoever likes his dye, whatever it turns on or off, wouldn't you like to? Would you like to have somebody's guitar or drum set and try it on? Didn't sound any bad. I'm a servant of the Lord God Most High, and he gave me the strength and that completeness. He says, I do not sit with the deceitful. Throughout time, people are Homer. Obviously, not a Christian, but years before, so I detest that man who hides one thing in the depths of his heart and speaks forth another. Are there any grammaticians out there? I'm pretty good at grammar. Raise your hand, please. Someone? Okay, praise God, you see that too. As if after I share this story with you, if you don't understand it, see that. I was reading with a preacher who was before a pastoral search committee, and the head of the pastoral search committee was an English teacher. Now, as I tell the story, if you don't fully get it, neither do I. So see that. But it was before the head of the search committee, and the future of this pastor dearly wanted to become pastor of this church. She wanted to make sure he spoke properly. I avoided pastoral search committees like that, by the way. And so she looked at the candidate and she said, when the hen is on the nest, does she sit or sit? I think I'd rather read Sartre, but in any case, when the hen is on the nest, does she sit or sit? Kennedy was going crazy, and he was probably not much better at grammar than me. Finally came up with a reply. It really doesn't matter if she's sitting or sitting. What I want to know is this: when she tackles, is she laying or lying? For those of you that understand that, you can explain it to me afterwards. But he did not sit with the deceitful. He did not pretend to just be alongside them and say everything is fine. I was watching a TV show. It was kind of interesting. But there was so much foul language, I just decided I didn't want to be foul. So I'm not a prude. Sure, I grew up in the streets of Brooklyn in the military and have spoken the language. I didn't want to be messed up by that. I didn't want to sit in it. Nor do I associate with hypocrites. The Hebrew word for hypocrite speaks of an emptiness, a shallow people, almost a ruined people. Over the last few years, particularly as the economy got tough, have you ever opened a package or a bottle from a store and it wasn't full? In fact, if you looked at the ingredients or read up, a lot of them kept the price and lowered the price and put less stuff in it because you think you were getting a deal and you'd buy it. Have you ever seen that? Maybe more than you like. It's just so wonderful to open up a box and it's half empty. That's the danger for us, is that we wrap ourselves up in whatever we wrap ourselves up into, and then we're not fully there. But we pretend like some way the evil goes. We feel it's just going to go evil. We can wash my hands. In essence, etc., etc. Lord, I love your house where you live, the place where your glory dwells. And he wants to be in the temple, in the presence of God, where he can feel the completeness of God, the fulfilling love of God. John Spurgeon said, sincerity makes the very least person. Sincerity makes the very least person to be of more value than the most talented hypocrite. Be far less dangerous. He didn't say far less dangerous. Do not take away my soul along with sinners, my life with those who are bloodthirsty. My feet stand on level ground. In the great congregation, I will praise the Lord. Do you see? It is in the worship of God that we should throw off all the nonsense. I lived much of my life pretending what I wasn't. I've shared with you many times as a kid, I would have done anything so that someone would know that I was tough. I used to get in fights where people would beat me up. And they would, but they'd run away. Because I wouldn't stop. And one day I just discovered God with me. I didn't have to get into these dumb contests. Nathaniel Hawthorne said these words, no man for any considerable period can wear one face to himself and another to the multitude without finally getting bewildered as to which may be true. As we are true to God, as we sit with God, as we seek to be God's people, we can be who we are. Now that's the Old Testament. As we move to the New Testament and the Sermon on the Mount passage, be careful not to practice your righteousness in the front of others to be seen by them. Beware of doing good deeds conspicuously to catch men's eyes. The Phillips translation. It's to be seen or noticed. We've all done that, right? Have you ever done something so you could be noticed? When I was younger, I bought a car or two. Actually, in my middle age, some people don't even get the organ just to be noticed. We notice you. No, seriously. But as a middle age, I bought a fancy car, so I would be noticed. I'm glad I'm well beyond that, sort of. It's the word to be noticed, theomai, or various forms of it, is where we get theater from. To do theater. If we're doing something to do theater, to do good in a theatrical way to be noticed, that's dangerous. It's not bad to be noticed. A child wants to be noticed. Call your mom or dad and say, look at me. That's good and that's healthy. But when we grow up and we find people and we say, look at me, it's a little less mature. And we find that it's lived out in God. If you do well, you will have no reward from it. If you do it, you sort of just do this acting out. You have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give alms or any gift to the help to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites. Now, do in the synagogue and on the streets to be honored by others. Who are hypocrites? Actor is as good a synonym as anything, but impersonator. The so love to watch the impersonators as they're impersonating people. Which is fine if you know you're doing it. We need to be like Christ, but always realize we are not Christ. That we have Christ in us. Someone said, beware of being a religious poser, trying to live up to the dramatized version of yourself. We do so many things because we get this image, we want others to do it. It's ironic in the period of time that Jesus is talking about, the actors, by and large, wore masks. They would hold a mask up to their face, and then they would do the role. We don't need a mask, we just need to be in Christ. Oswald Chambers said, a hypocrite is one who plays two parts consciously for his own ends. When we find fault with other people, we may be quite sincere. And yet, Jesus says, in reality, we are frauds. There's much more I can say. By the grace of God, I won't. But I will read a few passages from the communion text. Before that, it just says, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. It's calling us to be unself-conscious and unself-impressed from the gift. So we can just sort of let go and be in. Scripture says in the invitation of communion, no man should thoroughly examine himself, and only then should he eat the bread or drink the cup. He that eats and drinks carelessly is eating and drinking a judgment on himself. For he is blind to the presence of the Lord's body. For he or she is blind to the presence of the Lord's body. Part of that means that God is in us. When we're invited to come to the external, even in the midst of his betrayal, after he realized he took the bread and he broke it, he said, this is my body which is broken for you. Take it and remember it for me. And after the same manner, also he took the cup. And he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins. That means that we're a part of one another. We take this meal to realize that we're a part of Christ. And as a fellowship, we're a part of one another. And we need to give and care for one another. We need to respect and honor one another. We need to love one another so that we can be who Christ commands us to be. It is in that love of God that we see ourselves. I'm reminded of the story of the prodigal son. He comes back. He finally sees all the dumb games he's played. And he comes to the father. The father welcomes him, celebrates, throws a party, has the table prepared, and then the elder son says, I'm gone. To his credit, he didn't pretend to welcome his brother and hate him. Can you imagine pretending to like someone in this body of Christ and hating them or being annoyed with them or wishing they weren't here? And then Jesus goes out to him. And he says, a chalice, essentially. Don't you realize that I have loved you? That I loved you with all of my being, the Father. Father says it. In both my sons. And in my love, you are one. At that point in time, the elder son has a choice. He either acknowledges God's love and comes to the table and receives it afresh and wonderfully. And as he does that, he also welcomes his brother and sister as he welcomes the Father. Welcome to the meal that God has provided for the body of Christ, where we can love one another so much that we can get real. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that all are welcome, and we pray we would receive your love and be prepared to give it as we receive this by holy meal. In Jesus' name, amen. Once again, we invite you to come. The ushers will signal when it's appropriate. If you're here for the first time, you don't have to be a member of our church. You only have to seriously wish to receive the love of God.